Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So the Taoiseach Simon Harris is in Paris today for a bilateral meeting with the French President Emmanuel Macron at the Elysee Palace. Items on the agenda include the latest efforts for a ceasefire in Gaza. But at home, it looks like the residential zoned land tax will be in the budget after all. And the political parties, of course, are continuing with their selection conventions ahead of a general election. Well, for more on this, we're joined now by Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Good morning, Harry.
Hi, Claire.
The last days before the very busy political season gets underway, and this row over the land which is zoned for residential use, which blew up over last week. But now the Green Party leader, Roderick O'Gorman, is saying it is going to go ahead. It is going to be in the budget. So what happened? Has Jack Chambers backed down on it?
Not quite. He says that he wants it to go ahead, but it's clear that negotiations have taken place. And the kind of the unilateral proposal that was made by Jack Chambers last week that the tax in its entirety would be deferred for a year is no longer a live option. So what's being discussed at the moment is some kind of formula of words that will exclude the most controversial part of the tax as far as the political parties are concerned. Okay. And that is that farmers will be caught in working farms and farmhouses whose lands have been zoned for residential purposes will be caught in the tax and have to pay the 3%, which is a very punitive tax, even though they have no intention of selling the farm and want to continue to live there.
Yeah, I mean, we know that this had been worked on over a number of years because this was first suggested in 2021, wasn't it? And the option was to have your land de-zoned, but now magically, it would seem that a solution has been arrived at that will allow this to go ahead in October when the budget is announced.
Yes, but if they were to go ahead with the farmers included, it would have meant in real politic terms, political hari-kari, because the farming lobby has lobbied really hard against this and said that it's very punitive against farms who will be left with a tax that they have to pay, even though they're not hoarding land as such. Are not retaining land to speculate on it, but want to keep it. And I think the political antennae from all the political parties, particularly Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, when it comes to the farming community are really out at the moment, and they would not try to tempt fate with the farming community ahead of a prospective election. I mean, the government say the government is going to go its full term, but we know that is unlikely, and there's increasing speculation that we may have a general election in November. So I think they're crossing all their T's and dotting all their I's as far as their important demographics are concerned.
Mm-hmm. And more evidence of that in the fact that the party selection, candidate selection is underway. We've had a number of them in recent days, Harry.
We have indeed. There have been ones last night in Donegal and in the new constituency of Dublin Fingal West, which is a 3-seat constituency and part of the old Dublin Fingal constituency. In Donegal, the two candidates are interesting. Nicky Bradley, who was very recently appointed to the Seanad, came through. She is a very well-known disabilities campaigner. And the second candidate was John McNulty, which is a name that kind of harks to the past. He was almost a senator in 2014 when he stood for Fine Gael in a by-election for the Seanad. He courted controversy because Enda Kenny, who was then Taoiseach, nominated him to the board of the Irish Museum of Modern Art, even though he didn't really have an art background. And in the ensuing controversy, John McNulty asked not to be considered for a vote in the Seanad by-election. And it was councillors, it was TDs who were voting and who were voting for it, and senators. And he subsequently didn't win the election, but he has reappeared in recent years as a prospective Doyle candidate. Of course, the sitting TD there was Joe McHugh, mm-hmm. who resigned from Fine Gael not too long ago, but has also announced that he is retiring from politics. So there's no Fine Gael TD in the constituency at the moment. So between the two candidates, I think Fine Gael is hoping to be able to retain one seat in that very competitive 5-seat constituency In the other constituency, Dublin Fingal West, Grace Boland is a candidate. She's a solicitor who is based in the constituency. She is also the daughter of late John Boland, who was a very prominent Fine Gael TD, particularly during the 1970s and during the 1980s, also a minister for a period as well. So she seems to be continuing a family tradition there.
All right. And then Fianna Fáil, an interesting strategy in some of the constituencies from them, because we have Alison Common, broadcaster and journalist, announced as going to stand in Louth alongside Erin McGreehan. Gráinne Seoige putting herself forward for selection in Galway West. So is that a clear indication that Fianna Fáil are looking at the success of Cynthia Ní Bheoire Cú in the European elections and say, right, we'll just rinse and repeat that model and go get out there with the well-known candidates?
That's right. And both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have employed that particular page from the playbook in recent elections. If we look back to, say, 2004, Mairead McGuinness winning a seat for Fine Gael in the European elections. Dana Rosemary Scallon, a very well-known personality winning in Connacht Ulster, as it was back in the 90s, and then Maria Walsh in more recent years. But Fianna Fáil seem to have be pursuing this particular strategy for this election. As you said, Alison Common, who was added to the ticket yesterday, Erin McGreehan was already selected at selection convention. And the second person who's very prominent is Gráinne Seoige, who is putting herself forward for the Galway West Convention, which is taking place in early September.
OK, now moving on to other items that are floating around and on the agenda in the lead up to the budget, which is coming in October. The bank levy. So there had been talk around whether it would be extended or not. And we learned this morning that it will be.
It will be. And that's no surprise. It was introduced in 2014. If we go back to the crash of the Celtic Tiger and the financial crisis that happened around 2008-2009, our two most prominent banks, Bank of Ireland and AIB, had to be bailed out by the taxpayer. So when they began to return to profitability from 2014 on, a bank levy was imposed, and it's been a consistent feature since then. But in recent years, Bank of Ireland has no government shares anymore, and AIB's shares are much less than they were. There have been calls for the levy to be discontinued. But again, we are in election season. I think the levy garners quite a lot of money for the government, over 200 million euro per annum. And I think any government considering the matter from a political perspective would think it churlish to abandon that. And I don't think it would be a crowd pleaser, as it were, in terms of electoral politics. So it's no surprise that the Minister for Finance, Jack Chambers, has announced that he is going to continue the levy for the foreseeable future.
You seem to be in no doubt, Harry, that the election is imminent. Is the 15th of November the date in your head?
Yeah, well, my colleague Pat Leahy he did a column several weeks ago in which he looked at that particular date, and it makes the argument he was making makes a lot of sense. But you know, we are in the prediction game where we're wrong as often as we are right. The government might last its full term, but I'd say that everybody thinks the likelihood is that we will have an election within 5 or 6 weeks of the budget.
OK, well, the good news is we can blame Pat Leahy if we get it wrong and not you, right?
Well, you can blame me as well. I'm always open to being blamed. I don't mind it at all.
Thanks so much, Harry. Harry McGee there, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Now, there's great excitement this morning after Oasis announced those two gigs at Croke Park next summer. We'll have more on that next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.